ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री विष्णु सहस्रनाम 601 वृषभाक्षः। That's another of those not so very well-known names. It'll only be known to those who chant Vishnu Sahasranam, because it's not the kind of name just like we find in Vishnu Sahasranam, names that are commonly given even in the modern age, names like Krishna, Govinda, and names just like we've had in this verse, which even though not commonly given as names, they're quite easy to understand, like Gohita, Gopati, Gupta, these are the last three names. But this name is neither a common name nor is it easy to understand. And we had also in this verse Kuvaleshai. It's not a common, neither common nor easy to understand. So what does it mean? Vrishabhakshaha. So the commentators, they break this down into two words, Vrishabha and Akshaha. This is generally the way. So Vrishabha comes from the root Vrisha, which means to shower, just like we have the word Varsha. Now it's the season of rain. How do you say in Tamil? Completely different. Would be different. I've just been listening to Kamba Ramayana explained by Gokul Chandra Prabhu, translated by Krishnadas Prabhu, and hearing the Tamil, there's so much Sanskrit. It's nonsense. There's no relation, Tamil and Sanskrit. You hear the words, good words too also. Sahodari for sister, for instance. High words. How do you say normally in Canada, sister, say like that, yeah. But in North India, you have bin, bahin, bon in Bengali. I don't know where that comes from. So, to shower. And it also, it's a term that this word Vrishabha has come up already in Vishnu Sahasranam. And it denotes dharma. And aksha is a well-known word, means I, E-Y-E, not I. And it also means axle, the thing that joins the wheels and they run on together, essential in any vehicle. If the axle's broken, then it may be a... How much you? I think you can pay up to 50 lakh, more than a crore for a car in India now, just for a car. Some cars, more 2 crores or something like that. You can pay just for a car, so it may be a 2 crore plus car. But if the axle, one of the two axles, is broken, then it won't run at all. So. If you put these two words, it comes to different interpretations. So, the wheel of samsara is running on. What's the basis for that? Bhagavan? Well, in one sense, you can say the basis is the desire of the living beings to forget him. But anyway, it can't run on without his. Without, nothing goes on without him. How is it all running on? Well, if you ask modern scientists, atheists, they say, well, it's just going on. There's no apratishta, asatyam apratishtam te jagadahuranishvaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kama haitukam. They say, well, we have, after all this advancement of knowledge and study, we've discovered that there's no actual truth, there's no actual basis to the universe, there's no God in control, and it's, you know, just things are going on, people desire things, and what else is there to exist? It's very advanced, modern knowledge. But Krishna already discussed this in Bhagavad Gita, that even at that time, there's so many, and always there are people who say, there's no God, there's no basis to anything. Things are just going on. You don't need to think about God. But there is a basis, and the basis is Vishnu. He's the ultimate basis of everything. Maya dhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagadvi parivartate. How is this whole universe running on? Because of him. He oversees. He brings it into being. He oversees all the different living beings and non-moving and non-moving beings. Everything goes on under his supervision. He's maybe in a car, you can't see the axle. You don't see it. But if it's not there, it's not gonna work. In fact, there won't be wheels either. Essential, not seen or thought of. When you see a car going, you don't think of the axle, do you? You just see a car goes by. Just take it for granted. So you see the whole world running on, and we don't see that there's God, Vishnu, maintainer, upholding everything. We don't see that. We don't think about that unless we discuss these topics. We should regularly discuss topics, Bhagavad Katha. Then we'll remember. Otherwise, our tendency is to forget. We may think, "Well, I don't need. I don't need to know. There's an axle in a car. You just get in the car and turn it on and drive it. What do you need to know about an axle?" So you may think, well, I'm in the world and I'm living, and what do I need to know about God and all that? Anyway, I do my work, I get some money, I buy some food, and life goes on. What do I need to know about? Well, there is a reason. There's a very good reason. It's because sometime the car is going to break down. Sometime the body is going to break down. We're in a hospital, which is a whole institution dedicated to the breakdown of the body. And there's some breakdown which happens where there's no medicine is going to save you, and that's called death. So at that time, we have to turn to God, but better to do so prior, to understand that he is... We do need to know him. He himself comes to this world. He gives us all the scriptures, and so he is interested that we know him, and we should be interested to know him for our own good. That will come up in the next verse. How he does nivritatma. He does everything. He doesn't have anything to gain from us. But it's for our benefit to know about him. So by hearing these topics, we can understand how he's the unseen controller of everything, the basis of everything, and the eye of everything. He sees everything. Same, this aksha, maya adhyakshena prakriti, aksha, adhyaksha, supervision. He oversees. Supervise, so supervision. So super means above, and vision means seeing. So the same word is there in Sanskrit, adhyaksha. Aksha means eyes or seeing, and adhi means above. So he supervises the whole material cosmos. Parashrabhata, yeah. What does he say? He says that Bhagavan is the dharma, dharma. The axle is dharma. This world runs on dharma. Everyone gets the fruit of their activities. He phala varshi vrishabho dharma. So the vrishabha, varshi, he showers the fruits of our activities, either good or bad. That dharma, by So it might seem that people, everyone gets the result of their actions, so good people should get good results and bad people should get bad results. But it seems in the modern age that the more bad you are, the better off you are. People often ask that, isn't it? Why is it that bad? That's the effect of Kali Yuga. That the bad people seem to flourish more and more. But ultimately, they will have to suffer for that. And those who do good, those who worship Krishna, they will also get the result of that. They will get. It's not that people can go on doing sinful activities forever and they won't get the result of that. They certainly will. And it's not that Krishna's devotees, even though they may appear to suffer in this material world, but that won't go on forever. They will be taken by Krishna to his abode, out of this wheel of samsara. Shankaracharya says, Sakalan kaman varshuke akshini asya iti vrishabhakshaha. By his eye, he sees everything the devotee does and he showers on the devotee the fulfillment of his desires. Very beautiful way of seeing. He sees the devotee with the desire to benefit the devotee. He wants to benefit everyone, but he's particularly inclined to benefit the devotee because the devotee acts and thinks in a way that is actually beneficial for himself. Krishna wants to benefit everyone, but the non-devotees, they have the idea that they can be benefited by being sinful and forgetting Krishna. So Krishna also fulfills their desire, but he's most inclined to fulfill the desire of his devotee who acts and thinks in a manner that is beneficial for himself. He doesn't want to do anything harmful to anyone, but because people desire harm for themselves, he also allows them to indulge in their misguided activities. But he also tries to rectify them, of course. His very looking is dharma, vrishabha dharma. In everything that he sees, it's inseparable from dharma, from that which is right or correct or proper. His whole vision, we don't want to say God cannot, but let's put it, he's not constrained by anything, but his nature is such that it's not within him to be thinking wrongly about or wanting to harm others. That's his kripa kataksha. He always desires the benefit of others, and he sees everything in terms of dharma. Means that as the neutral. He's upadrashtano mantacha. He sees everything. He allows things to go on, but everything functions according to dharma. Paramatmeti chapyukto dehesmin purusha paraha. An example, there are so many examples how, if we understand this principle, dharma rakshiti rakshataha. The one who adheres to dharma is protected by dharma. The Mahabharat, Duryodhana, had great strength, great faith in his own strength. And Arjuna had great strength. He did have great strength, but he had great faith in this support of Krishna. When Duryodhana asked Bhishma, you fight on my side, because they're all Yudhishthira and Duryodhana, they're both sending out their emissaries and personally going and trying to meet as many kings as they could before the other one got to them, because whoever they would meet first, then they would try to convince them to join their side. So he called Bhishma, he asked Bhishma, you come and fight on my side. Bhishma said, yeah, I'll fight on your side, but it doesn't matter, even if you have the whole world with you, you're not going to win this fight. The greatest fighter, Bhishma, I'll be on your side, but you won't win, because Krishna is on the side of Arjuna, is on the side of Yudhishthira. So, yatra yogeshvara krishna, yatra partha dhanodaraha, tatra shaya vijaya bhute dhruva nitya matir mama. Where there's Krishna, there will be Arjuna. Krishna, the yogeshvara, Arjuna, the famous holder of the bow. There will be opulence, victory, morality, certainty. So there could be 1,000 Bhishmas, but Bhishma himself said, you won't win, you're going to lose. You can't win this, because Krishna has come to this world because there's dharma glani, there's decline of dharma. So he's come for the sake of dharma sangsthapana, for the sake of restoring dharma. And so this battle is arranged for that point. So there's no way you're going to win, he told to Duryodhana. So Krishna maintains the axle, the support. He maintains that. He is that, and he maintains it. So even though in this Kali Yuga everything seems upside down, back to front and inside out and just plain weird, we should know that Krishna is there. He's seeing everything. And ultimately everything will come out by Krishna's grace. Completely different meaning is given by Baladev Vidyabhushan. Continuing his interpretation in names in terms of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. And this will this interpretation will go into the next verse also. Anivarti Nivritatma, there's the first two names in the next verse. So he'll also describe that in terms of the he describes this in terms of the Arishtasura, the bull, or the demon in the form of a bull. He was so hypocritical, cynical, this Arishta. Arishta, the very word means bad omen. Just like there's one demon, Agha. That's it. What's your name? Agha, sin. So Arishta means inauspicious, bad omen. Yeah, I'm bad. He's so proud of that. And he was so hypocritical that he took a form of a bull, which is the very form of dharma. But Krishna wasn't fooled. He wasn't it's a bull, dharma. But Krishna, no, it's a demon. Baladev gives the meaning that he killed this demon in the form of Arishta. So Vrisha can also mean bull. The next name, similar name. The first part of the name is the same, Vrisha. Vrisha Priya. So Vrisha here means dharma. So especially in Vishnu Sahasranam, we have so many names which are related to dharma. because Vishnu is the maintainer of the universe. So he maintains it by dharma. And that is his dharma. He also has dharma. We have a dharma to act subordinately to him, and his dharma is to protect and to maintain the universe in all respects, including the law that those who are sinful, they have to suffer, which is why we have earthquakes and terrorism and so many problems in the world. That's also part of dharma, because people are sinful. That's also overseen by Vishnu. So he likes that, and therefore it also means he likes those who are virtuous, those who observe dharma. And of course, the essence of dharma is to surrender to Krishna, to be a devotee of Krishna. Dharma, there are various levels. There is pravritti dharma, acting according to the Vedic injunctions for the sake of trying to enjoy this material world. And there's nivritti dharma, the dharma of turning away from this world to become spiritually advanced. And the highest dharma of all is to follow Krishna's instruction, sarvadhaman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam vraja. Give up both pravritti dharma and nivritti dharma and just take shelter in me. So that may seem to be closer to nivritti dharma, but it transcends both, because Arjuna, he was proposing nivritti dharma. I will leave this battle and I will stop this trying to enjoy this world. But Krishna says, no, you leave the pravritti dharma, leave the nivritti, just surrender to me. So that's the highest dharma. So it is his great pleasure to see people taking to the path of dharma, because after many, many, many births, they come to the human form of life, and if in the human form of life they don't observe dharma, then what is their position? Ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha samanam etat pashubir naranam. Dharmena hina dharmo hite sham adiko visesham dharmena hina pashubhya naranam dharma hine. So then he's just like an animal, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. If he doesn't observe dharma, which is the special prerogative of human life, then he's just like an animal. So Krishna's happy that people take to the path of dharma, which begins with varnashram dharma. There's some kind of idea floating around in ISKCON that we're all transcendental to varnashram dharma, although it's more likely that we're not even qualified for it. We don't even come up to the beginning level. I'm not following varnashram, I'm transcendental. You're not following. By sanskar, we're lechas and yavanas, by our background. We're not even qualified for that. So that's the beginning. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great mercy, he takes us beyond varnashram, but that's if we fully apply ourselves. Otherwise, by our background, we're not even qualified for the very first platform of human life. So we should follow, just like we tell the Matajis, you follow Stri Dharma and Bhakti Dharma, side by side. So the men also, they should follow their worldly Dharma and their Krishna consciousness side by side. Otherwise, without following Varnashram, it's very, very difficult to live properly without being sinful in this world. And if one doesn't follow Varnashram, then he has to accept a whole set of misconceptions to live in the modern world. So many misconceptions. Human life, life is meant for material enjoyment. We are making progress with motor cars and Darwin's theory we were discussing a little bit. So many misconceptions. If we don't follow evam pravartitam chakram, unless we follow this cycle of life that Krishna has given, aghaya indriya rama, then we are forced to try to take pleasure in a sinful life of sense enjoyment. So it's this varnashram, it's not a small thing. Krishna is also pleased by those who are following that. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, he tells us to go beyond that, to come to the highest platform. But at least we should come up above this lowest platform of simply animalistic life. So Krishna is pleased with persons who are following. Anyone who follows varnashram dharma, even in the most rudimentary way, by doing so, they become connected to Krishna in even the most rudimentary way. Definitely there's going to be anyone who's in varnashram, they're going to know about Vishnu, to chant his names, they're going to protect cows, which is pleasing to Krishna. Practically speaking, I see that in India today, who we call the Mayavadis and this and that, they're much more interested in cow protection than the Vaishnavas. And among the Vaishnavas, I think the in ISKCON, we're the least interested in cow protection. We get some money and we eat and we're happy. Maybe that's over cynical, but we don't. There are plenty of other people taking it much more seriously than we do. So we should also take it seriously. Yes, we have to distribute books, and yes, we have to chant Hare Krishna, but yes, we also have to please Krishna by protecting the cows. That's also essential in Krishna consciousness. Baladev Vidyabhushans. Oh, in this regard, I'll just say that Krishna Kirtan Prabhu, I was speaking with him yesterday, he came from Australia. He's telling me about the devotees there, they have a 500-acre farm, but they don't do farming. So he asked, why don't you do producing? He said, well, the Indian people come, they give us grains and rice. What do we need to do farming? Then why they have? They didn't understand Prabhupada's mission. We have to show a better way of life. This becoming supported by pious people can be a great destroyer of our mission. We have to know what our mission is and keep it in the forefront. So, Baladev Vidyabhushan, he again talking about the Arishtashura killing. After Arishtashura was killed, he went on. Risha means bull, so the bulls and cows of Vrindavan. He went on with his usual activities of showing love for them. He loves them very much. That name just came up, Gohita. He's always thinking of the welfare of the cows. So they're very dear to him, the cows and bulls of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, that's the end of that verse. Yeah, you want to say something? Yeah. Is Gupta a protector of Gupta? No, well, Gupta derives from the same root. which means, well, at least according to, we just read that, that, where is that? That, oh, I shouldn't say that, because, yeah, here it is. Satyadeva Vashishta says that he takes Gupta, to, he derives that from Gup, to conceal. Exactly what Gupta means, I don't know. But we all know it's merchant caste in North India. I don't think it's in South India. All over North India. But exactly, maybe they hide their wealth or something like that. I don't know exactly. Don't know exactly how it came about. Especially when someone comes to us for a donation. But I don't know exactly. You ask Basu Ghosh. He's probably the world's greatest authority on castes in India. He knows everything all over India about all the castes and their history and everything. So especially the Vaishyas, and because he made it his business to find out, because he was collecting. And mostly these guys, they will give, but you have to squeeze. But they know they have to give, because that's their dharma. They earn money by any means, but then they have to give charity also. But they're not the same caste as these Maheshwaris. I mean, it's very similar, isn't it? Same mentality, but they're... But... Maheshwari, Agarwal, they're Rajasthan, and Gupta is everywhere else in North India.
Like in the first chapter, Krishna says Jati Dharma and Kula
Dharma. Mm.
Kula are different, maybe Jati is similar.
Jati is similar, but Kul is different, yeah. The Agrawals, they came from Maharaj Agrasena. That's their history. Did they intermarry? I don't think so, is it? Traditionally, they won't intermarry. They probably both consider themselves to be higher than each other, as usual. Anything else? Okay, we'll finish it. Hare Krishna.